those harmonies, even singing about vegetables, the Beach Boys. I had a little moment the other day where I think I'm turning into an accidental vegetarian. I was a vegetarian when I was 19, but a terrible cook, so all I ate was pasta. I don't necessarily want to become a full-blown vegetarian. I know there's different levels of vegetarianism. I'm pretty sure mine will be on the loosey-goosey angle of it, but I feel like I want to eat less meat. So who do I ask about this? None other than Danny Valent. Danny, this could be a little theme song.
The Beach Boys and their vegetables?
Yeah, why not?
They were obviously into vegetables long before you became an accidental vegetarian.
Is it a thing? Like, I'm sure I'm not alone here.
That I don't
all
think
of a sudden we're just slowly going, could happily not have it.
Yeah, I think you're tapping into something that is quite common in a lot of people's lives. And I think what it is that we're moving away from the necessity of having meat be the hero of a main meal. And meat is being used a little more judiciously. And as you've said, you notice that you've perhaps gone a few days and you haven't tried not to eat meat, but it just hasn't featured in your meals. So I definitely think that you're part of a movement.
Now, I'm not promoting don't eat it or do eat it. There's no stance here whatsoever, so don't get upset or angry at me on text. You know, if you're a meat farmer, I'm not trying to sabotage your industry. And if you're a vegetarian and I'm not doing it well enough, you know, I'm sure that's the case as well.
A lot of passion on both sides of those things.
There is. But it does make me start to then think about, okay, I need to broaden out I don't want to become necessarily vegetarian. I don't think I could give up my Sunday night roast chook.
Sure.
Just too good. But if I want to introduce more vegetable-based meals into my diet, need to start thinking about how to do that. Now, I think we've mentioned this once before, but my girlfriend had a dinner party and one of the women coming was vegetarian. So she thought, you know what, bugger it. I'm doing the whole thing vegetarian.
Yep.
And it was amazing. Some of the dishes were so great. And one of the feature dishes was an entire roasted cauliflower.
Ah, beautiful.
But this is becoming a thing too.
Roasted cauliflower definitely having a
chicken.
Moment. Well, you can carve it like a roast,
yeah.
And it does become a bit of an event. Roasted cauliflower and cauliflower in many different forms is definitely having a moment. I mean, I noticed cauliflowers at the moment are reasonably cheap, about $3 where I was looking recently. So they're affordable. But I think sometimes we see cauliflower prices spike, and partly that's because a lot more people are doing a lot more things with it.
It used to be seen as a bit of a dodgy veg. Maybe it was just my household, but it was seen as a bit of a dodgy veggie.
Weren't we overboiling it until the whole house smelled and it would turn into a grey mush? But I think now when we're really heroing it and giving it the love and attention that it does deserve, it does, Rochelle, it does deserve it, then you can make it really amazing. And I remember serving a whole roasted cauliflower at a dinner party and serving it with a carving knife like stuck into it, like it had been murdered. And it does create quite an impression and it can be super delicious.
How do you do it?
Okay, so I'll give you the version that is used by Israeli chef Eyal Shani, who's at the forefront of the cauliflower movement. So his restaurant Miznon in the centre of Melbourne does a really great cauliflower, and I urge you all to try it. So basically his version is that you need to boil the cauliflower in salted water, because one of the problems with roasting is that it can get burnt on the outside and still be a little bit woody on the inside. Mm. So get around that tough corner by giving it a little bit of a like 10 to 15 minutes in salted water so it does start to season it all the way through to the middle. Then put it then massage it with olive oil.
Come on.
Just a little gentle back rub for your cauliflower.
Really?
So, I mean, I was trying to get him to describe it, and it's beautiful, Israeli English. Basically, you do need to give it a little bit of olive oil loving. So a little bit of a massage, some salt, get it in a hot oven until it is golden brown. And you can
carve
it. And
how long does that take?
It depends. I mean, ovens are all different, but let's say 20 minutes, because it'll be pretty well cooked. So you're just looking to get that colour and that hint of caramelization, which gives it that beautiful extra layer of flavor. Then you can tear into it with your hands, or you can carve it and create cauliflower steaks, which do create quite an impression on
the
plate.
And what would you put on the side with that? Because you could treat it like a little meat and three
veg. Yeah, well, you could. So a grain salad would go really well with that sort of Middle Eastern flavour profile. So different grains, which again, I think as we're thinking about other ways of sustaining ourselves and, you know, really satisfying our appetites, grains are such a good way to do that if you're not eating meat. But a big green salad, some other roasted veggies. So I'm all for the sweet potato chips. Chips, as often as possible, things like that. Some sauces, I think about, you know, a tahini and yogurt sauce. That would be really beautiful drizzled over your cauliflower.
I haven't heard the words big green salad in ages, and I just had a flashback to Elaine in Seinfeld when she orders the big green salad.
The big salad.
The big
salad.
That's such a, I must have a big salad.
Yeah, it can be an event. But don't you think, I think as the blossoms are coming out and we're starting to see some new leaves, I think we're all turning a little bit more towards salads. I know that I am.
Well, Marge says, or Homer says, I can't remember, but you don't win friends with salad. I say you do win friends with salad.
Yes, I can be won by salad.
Start that conga line. 1-300-222-774. You can text 0437-774-774. Dani Valent is with you, as she is every fortnight. Have you, similar to me, found yourself becoming an almost accidental vegetarian? I'm not saying fully fledged vegetarian, but eating a lot more veggies. And how did that happen? 1-300-222-774. And you can text 0437-774-774. Lentils, legumes, that whole world. I absolutely adore lentils. Just love them in all forms and sizes and colours and whatnot.
Yeah.
I don't have time for the soaking and the whole business, the massaging, whatever goes along.
Yes. Massaging each lentil would certainly take up most of the day.
I'm not saying I don't want to, because I would feel very good about myself if I was one of those people that managed to soak chickpeas.
You're
the
not
night
a soaker.
Before.
You've admitted it.
I don't have time.
Yeah.
Well, I probably do. I'm not organised enough.
It is about being organised. But some lentils don't require much soaking. And so the red lentils, they'll be cooked in 10 minutes.
Yes.
So you need to choose your lentils. And I will tell you here and now, there is no shame in opening a tin of lentils on occasion.
Not on occasion.
Tin of chickpeas. Ever.
Every day.
Okay, there you go. So, yeah, we want to remove canned lentil shame.
Because there's no shame. Why was there shame to begin with? Because, what, you're not soaking them and...
That's
a false shame.
It's definitely cheaper to soak your own.
Yes, that's true.
There is less packaging.
Okay, all right.
So there are some decent reasons. Some people just aren't into tins, as people have concerns about what the tins are coated with. Yeah, so there's all kinds of reasons that people have for steering away from tins.
But God, they make life easy.
Yeah, and convenience is definitely a part of what we need in our cooking lives. So I think, if it's a choice between tinned lentils and no lentils, I'm like, let's get out the can opener.
We had Dr. Sandro in, who we know from Ask the Doctor on the ABC, and he's big on lentils, and he had a great idea. With even if they were tinned, but just small brown lentils. I don't know what's the proper name, lentils, whatever they may be, French lentils.
Brown lentils, yeah.
Add them sometimes to your bolognese. Pat out your bolognese.
Sure.
Some nice protein in there. A little less meat makes it more cost-effective.
Yeah, well, I think you really hit on something there, which is that if we're perhaps still eating some meat but we're eating less meat, then it can be about ways to replace some of that meat content with other things. Mm. And lentils in the bolognese or the shepherd's pie are certainly a perfect example of that. And I think sometimes we can look towards Asian food as the way that meat is used there, where it's almost a seasoning for a dish. So you might have, let's say, a big bean stir fry, which the bulk of it is beans, there's garlic, there's ginger, there's the sauces, whatever there is, but there's a handful of pork mince. So it's not like you've got this massive amount of meat. You've just got the meat there. Yeah. So you do get that flavour, you get that nourishment, you get that sweetness from the pork that it sort of ticks off that satisfaction that you get from, well, some people get from eating meat. I know I do sometimes. But you're not having a whole hunk of it.
Yes, I totally agree. I found, just because I was trying to get organised, I did a big batch of a very basic bolognese, knowing that sometimes it would be used as a bolognese, but then I could add all different lentils and red kidney beans to it and turn it into a con carne type dish. But I'd make it smaller and the meat element smaller and smaller. So you do have, like what you were saying, that sort of taste, that texture, that nod to it. But then the majority of it is lentils and it stretches your meals
out. Mushrooms, amazing for that as well. So, yeah, there's lots of ways of getting that hit without the bulk.
Salvador says roasted cauliflower looks fantastic if you mix turmeric and smoked paprika and dust the outside with this mix. Rub olive oil infused with garlic first. Beautiful, Salvador. Thank you. Jake says, hi, Rishi. Love the fact that you're calling me Rishi. Are you a family member? Not sure, but Jake, I feel like you are now. My fiance and I started to cut out meat from our meals and experiment with plant-based food a couple of years ago. We've now gone vegan and have been so for a year, and we're eating more amazing food than when we were carnivores. It's not that hard if you just put in a little bit of effort.
Yeah, I think the whole vegan thing is definitely on the up, and I think chefs are taking it on as a project. So the vegan dish or the vegetarian dish used to be an afterthought at the bottom of the menu.
Yeah.
But now, because there's that demand, chefs are putting a lot more thought into it, and even people who would eat meat on occasion were going, that sounds amazing, I'm going to have that.
Meg, you're a teacher, and you think that this is a good way to teach people or young people how to eat.
I do. My daughter-in-law was being very naughty and she thought she'd turned vegetarian, so she just ate salads, and next thing she was in the hospital with a, you know, an infected tooth or whatever. But I think one of the things it's worth just knowing about whether you become a vegetarian or not is the importance of amino acids. So there are all sorts of, there are 20 different amino acids and 9 of them are essential. But then if you're a vegetarian, you need to get them by eating like combinations. So there's legumes plus grains, legumes plus dairy products, grains plus dairy, nuts and seeds plus dairy, legumes and nuts and seeds and grains.
Oh, this all sounds good. Yes, eat it all.
All sorts of, yeah. But, and look, I was vegetarian for about 20 years and then I had an iron crust. So I have to eat a little bit of meat, but I actually think vegetarian food is more tasty, more interesting.
Meg, I agree. I was vegetarian when I was, I think, from the age of 16 and for quite a fair chunk of time, maybe sort of 9 or 10 years. Mm. But I didn't really know how to cook. There was always only one dish on the menu when you went to anywhere, and it was generally a risotto that was quite questionable or a Napoli pasta, and that was it, or a vegetarian lasagna that was diabolical.
Yes.
But since then, well, I know how to cook now, and menus are fantastic. So it does make it quite easy, doesn't it?
And there are some, I think now there are some really good vegetarian books, and the one that I've taught from and used as a teaching tool, actually the introduction is about 40 pages long and it goes into all of this stuff. And I found when I taught vegetarianism in schools, let's say year 9, 10, 11, 12 kids, they just absolutely loved it and they took it home to their parents.
Right. Good. And that's often the way. Good on you, Meg, with teaching and especially food, whether you look at Stephanie Alexander or whoever it may be. And I remember in all the years that I've done stories on Stephanie and the kids that she helps grow veggies is that they're going home and teaching the adults a lot of the time. I mean, I have to tell my dad time and time again that sausages, like Elmo says, are a sometimes food.
Yeah.
So I'm constantly teaching him. Danny Valent is with you, 1300 222 774, and you can text 0437 774 774. This text is anonymous, and fair enough. I love cauliflower, but it gives me extreme wind. Not just wind, extreme wind.
No, you're not going to throw to me and ask me for a solution to this, are you, Rochelle? Because I believe that's beyond the call of duty.
Can I throw something at you, though?
You can.
I can't remember if it was Sandro or someone else, but they were saying, yes, you will get a little windy if you eat a lot of lentils, but after a couple of weeks, your body adjusts and gets used to it. So once it's your body's used to eating lentils on a regular basis, the extreme wind stops.
Well, I'm very glad to hear that, and I'll defer to Sandro's expertise on that matter. I think with anything, it's like if you're changing your diet, then do it gradually, do it in stages, listen to your body, and as the caller said, you know, on the nutrients, like if you're feeling like you're suddenly lacking in energy or those kinds of things, do get medical advice.
I've got a title. I'm a flexitarian.
Yep. Yeah.
What? It's a thing.
It's a little bit of a thing, yeah. But don't worry, you were first, but someone else gave it a name. So
I didn't even know. I didn't want to be a thing.
Well, you're the vanguard.
Everything's got a label, doesn't it? What about if you're a big fan of curries and you have decided to try and cut out meat, a good vegetable curry, is it possible? What's the best way of doing it? What sort of curry?
I think vegetable curries are the best. Mm. And of course, you know, so many, if you're thinking about Indian curries, so many Indians steer clear of meat, and the recipes are endless and wonderful. So lentils, as you mentioned, certainly really terrific. I am a big sucker for an eggplant curry. Mm-hmm. So perhaps
it soaks it in, doesn't
it? Yeah, soaks it in. So it's definitely about getting that eggplant cooked all the way through. I'm I'm not a fan of the squeaky eggplant, and being quite generous with your spicing because the eggplant will soak up lots of flavours. And again, a little bit of a spiced yogurt to go with it. Absolutely delicious.
1300 222 774. You can text 0437 774 774. Have you become an accidental vegetarian, or are you just consuming a lot less meat now? I've been vegan for 8.5 years. I've never felt better health-wise. Rochelle and Danny, why spoil a good lentil bolognese with meat?
There you go.
My mum used to make awesome lentil sausage rolls.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
I mean, pastry stuff inside, chutney.
Can't go too wrong.
You can't, can you? Now, I am, believe it or not, and many people are not, but I'm sure you are, Danny, I'm a huge fan of tofu.
Yes.
And there's people with eyeballs rolling into their head right now. I don't know why I love it. I just do. Well, any sort.
Any sort. Yeah. It can be good. It can be bad, I think. I had some great tofu last night at a hot pot restaurant. So it's a Chinese hot pot where you have a spicy broth in front of you, and it does have a meat base. But then we've got that meat-based soup that we're dipping our tofu into. So again, it's a way of having some of that nutrient from the meat, that slow-cooked broth, but we're dipping some tofu into it. So playing it both ways.
What about, because that lovely salt and pepper style tofu, almost like a salt and pepper calamari.
Sure.
I've always been too scared to try and cook that at home, even though I have a lot of Kylie Kwong's cookbooks.
Yeah.
And she makes tofu sexy. How, words I never thought I'd say. How do you go about doing that at home?
Okay, so I think sometimes when we're cooking at home and we're frying, we are scared to use enough oil. We sort of think oil equals bad, but oil also equals, you know, a good fry. So I would say make sure the tofu is not too wet to start with. So if you want to sort of use a medium tofu, pat it really nicely dry before you start with a paper towel. Give it your salt and pepper coating, and then use enough oil to, you know, really give a good slick in the bottom of the pan so that tofu doesn't stick.
And one thing, and we were talking before about padding out meat, whether it be for cost, health, whatever reasons it is. Tofu, I make one of my just weekly, nightly dishes is just a stir-fried pork mince, veggies and vermicelli noodles. Easy done.
Yep.
But I threw in some tofu first and kind of browned it up and then added everything else. And I got a couple of lunches out of it. It was delicious.
Yeah, so good. And tofu does soak up all those flavours. So, I mean, you can use tofu as a scrambled egg substitute if you want to, you know, hot vegan breakfast. So, you know, use it like a mince or a crumble, and it does soak up so many beautiful flavours. So very versatile too.
Vegetable korma rocks, says this text. And yes, my husband and I are accidental vegetarians. Problem is, our 12-year-old daughter has a repertoire of only 4 vegetables. I feel
makes
your pain, Sim. Anika, you've got a recipe for eggplant.
Yes, Rochelle, how are you?
Very
and
well.
Good afternoon to your guest. Now, quickly, being an Indian, and we eat a lot of vegetables beside non-vegetarian. Now, you have to go to an Indian grocery shop for white poppy seed. You've got black poppy seeds, you've got white poppy seed. Now, soak it overnight, white poppy seed in water, and then make a paste. Then cut the eggplant a little bit, about 1 inch in thickness. Fry it in oil, but before frying, you need this Indian 5-spice, which is called panchfuran. Now, I'm a Bengali, I'm an Indian, but if you go and say panchfuran, and you can Google it, it's actually there, that you put it in the oil and then fry the eggplant lightly and take it out. And then you put this white poppy paste and sugar, grated ginger, no turmeric. This is white, served white. And a bit of garam masala, make a paste, and then put the eggplant in it. And just a little the dust of water, and make the paste, you know, turn upside down, get it coated, and then serve it with rice. It's yum.
Anika, do I listen to you drooling?
I have a plan coming to Rafael's program and thing, but I'm having a bad osteoarthritis, so I can't come. But I have a mind. I would get in touch with your,
I want to know what white poppy seed, like what do white poppy seeds taste like? Do they have a lot of flavour? Because black don't necessarily.
Are you there?
Yes.
Yeah, white poppy seed. Just go into Indian grocery shop and say, I need white poppy seed.
But what do they taste like? Do they have any flavour or not really?
Yeah, it is a very bland taste, but you need to add spices to it. And if you go and say for Bengali cooking, you need white poppy seed, and if that person is knowledgeable, she would or he would guide you. But it is poppy seed.
Good on you, Anenka. Thank you. That's a wonderful recipe. Now, I'm probably not going to be pronouncing this properly. Is it tempeh?
Yeah, tempeh.
So how is that different to tofu?
So tempeh also is a fermented soybean product, just as tofu is. But with tempeh, the beans are still whole, so it's a brown block and really beautiful. So that if you can do that in lots of different ways. But I love to slice it quite thinly so that you can get it crispy and fry that up with a little bit of you do soy, honey, ginger, really beautiful over a salad, or you can cook it up through a curry as well.
And would you put it into a stir fry or just a curry or
definitely put it through a stir fry, but cook it. I like to cook it separately and then add it back at the end so that you can get it that quite crisp and quite distinct.
Lots of people sharing their wind stories here, but anyhow,
really, can we have a ban on those?
I've hit your soft spot or your nerve.
I just don't feel qualified to advise.
No, well, there's no advice. But okay, we've got children in the house.
Just to listen.
They're all
empathy.
So most households are windy. Let's face it. We don't want to admit it, but it's true. Rochelle, I love lentils, but I'm fructose intolerant. So if I have them, my family really knows about it.
Oh.
There we go. Ladies, tofu in a dessert is fantastic.
Yeah, tofu with a chocolate mousse is actually really surprisingly good.
There's a big move, and there has been for some while now, because people don't necessarily become vegan or vegetarian just because of the protection of animals. There's lots of reasons that they choose not to. So there's a move towards making things taste and look and smell like meat, which you would think is a bit weird given that, you don't want to eat meat, but it's not that you don't like it. You give it up for other reasons.
Yeah.
We're seeing that more in restaurants, but what about actual food pieces or stuffs that take on the texture of meat that you can use? I know jackfruit is one that you've mentioned that can kind of take on a meaty type.
Yeah, it can
appearance.
Be like pulled pork or pulled chicken, so a tropical fruit. And when you cook that up, it does go into strands. I'm in two minds about the sort of mock meat thing, and I think it's interesting. I think so much of food is about nostalgia. So if someone really misses, bacon's always one that people come back to.
Mine was dim sims.
Yeah.
How embarrassing.
Not at all.
It was a fried dim that got me back over the line.
Yeah, lentil dimmy maybe not hitting the right spots. Mm. I don't know. I mean, there is a culture of mock meats in Buddhist cuisine where it's the meat has a sort of ceremonial place, but if you're not eating it, what do? So you have mock meat, mock duck, all those kinds of things. There's an amazing deli in Fitzroy, Smith and Deli, where they do a lot of, they create their own like vegan smoked salmon made out of watermelon is the one that I was actually writing about them this morning. It'll be in The Age next week.
Hang on a second, watermelon?
Yes, it's crazy, but it's true. So Shannon Martinez, a very talented chef there and extremely creative in creating, vegan products that resemble meat. So I don't know how she thought of this, but she dried and compressed watermelon, marinated it with smoke and kombu, which is a type of seaweed, and puts it in a bagel. And it's a smoked salmon bagel, but it's watermelon, not smoked salmon. So I think with that, it's tapping into, someone that really misses that deli experience, but doesn't want to eat the salmon.
A text saying, this is a very inner city conversation. I don't know if I agree with that because I'm having lots of texts saying, this is just a Mediterranean diet. People have been doing this forever. Mm. And it's kind of true, isn't it? It's not anything new. It's lots of people can't afford to eat meat.
Sure.
So I think it's the opposite of being inner city. And it's about making meals go longer, go further, and taking on a bit of a Mediterranean vibe when it comes to your cooking.
Yeah, absolutely. And, thinking about eating perhaps less meat but better meat.
Dani Valente, as always, thank you so much. What have you got on your website at the moment for people to peruse, maybe get a recipe or two?
I've just put up I'm focusing on matcha at the moment, so a Japanese green tea, which I've become a little bit obsessed with, and different things you can do with it. So I've got a bit about the history and culture of matcha up there right now.
That's a bit inner city. It's very cultural, but it's become very inner city.
Well, tell that to the monks at the temples outside Kyoto and they'll question that, but I know what you're saying.
Dani Valente, thank you so much as always.